name of Jesus, amen. The courtroom. There's much to be learned in a courtroom. There's a judge who oversees the trial. His job is to ensure that everything is fair and according to the laws. Then there is one who is accused of having done wrong. This is the defendant. Then there is one whose job it is to prove that the defendant has done wrong. And this is known as the prosecutor. This is a great nation, the United States of America, in which defendants are considered innocent until proven guilty. And in criminal law involving serious crimes, the plaintiff must prove guilt beyond reasonable doubt in order to get a conviction. It seems pretty good, right? It seems pretty fair and just. That is, unless you're on the wrong side of the law. Then it's still good, fair, and just, but you know that you're guilty. It's just a matter of time until the evidence stacks up against you. You sit there as witness after witness bring the evidence against you. And they testify to how you are guilty of the crime. Imagine what it would be like if this was the process by which we were judged by God. For starters, the courtroom of divine holiness would be a very busy one, because we would all be on trial. For the Ten Commandments, we are all accused of running afoul of God's law. The law states, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, meaning that we should fear, love, and trust in God, and that we should love God so that we do not despise preaching His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. But who of us rejoices to hear God's word more than watching TV or listening to pop music? Or what about the fifth commandment that teaches us that we should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need? Do we really help our neighbor in every need? But I didn't even have to give a few examples, because as soon as I mentioned the Ten Commandments, we already knew that we run afoul of them. The point is that these commandments issue us our divine arrest warrant, that we are charged for these offenses against God. The evidence is against us. God is the all-seeing witness, and there's no way we're going to get away with it. The punishment for these crimes, it's the eternal death penalty. It seems that there's not much we can do. In our text for this evening, Jesus faced a bit of a trial of his own. He stood before the high priest. Jesus was the defendant representing himself, and the prosecuting counsel was the Jewish leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The crime? Well, Jesus said himself, "If I have done something wrong, speak up about it." Jesus pleaded innocent. He said that if he had done anything wrong, he even asked the prosecution to call their witnesses to the stand. He said, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they will know what I said." Yet no one would come forward to bear witness against Jesus, until finally two came to bear witness, and they declared, "We heard him say, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Jesus is on trial, not for any crime, not in any violation of the Ten Commandments. Jesus never murdered anyone. He didn't steal or hurt anyone or anything. Jesus didn't even tell a lie. The charge brought against him, the high priest asked him, "I charge you under oath. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" This is what Jesus is being accused of. Not of his conduct or his morality. He is simply being charged as to whether he is the Christ. If he is God in human flesh, this is the charge against Jesus. A charge which Jesus can only plead guilty. "I am," he says. "It is as you say." But Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He lived his entire life free from every sin. Every single command given to him by the Father, Jesus was obedient in every single way. But before these men, they accuse him of being the Christ, and Jesus must say the truth. "I am." At this guilty plea, the jury sentences Jesus. They say, "He is worthy of death." Now someone's got this all wrong. Someone messed up here. Jesus, given the death penalty, he didn't do anything wrong. He's worthy of death? For what? What has he done wrong? We're the ones standing in this courtroom before the judge. We're the ones who are guilty for every account of sin brought before us. We're the ones with the evidence against us for all the times we failed to love our neighbor and to rejoice at God's law. We're the ones worthy of death. That's us. And now all we can do is wait. We can do nothing but wait for the judge to read his verdict. The verdict that we are expecting, divine death penalty. And here it is. The bailiff says, "All rise." The judge holds the verdict in hand and reads it aloud for all to hear. "For all accounts of sin against me and my holy word, I, the holy judge, find you innocent." Innocent. We have been declared innocent because the punishment has already been paid. Christ, though without sin, suffered the death that we deserved so that we could be declared innocent and right before God. This is the courtroom in which you stand before God, and it is an exact replica of the final judgment on the last day. You see, you've already been judged. You carry this verdict of innocence with you to the throne of God, in which he welcomes you to the heavenly thrones of glory. So the trial is over. You've already been judged. When God, as the judge, has declared you as innocent and righteous, what do we have to fear? We fear no death. We fear no sorrow. We fear no pain. It is as we sing in this evening's hymn, "I should not fear what foes can do to harm me, nor death alarm me." Dear saints of God, let us depart this evening as ones who have already been judged. For we have been judged by God and have been given a judgment that can never, ever be changed. It has been a judgment of righteous and just. Righteousness for the sake of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. to whom we give all glory and thanks. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.